Following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Break presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. A lot of things happened this week. We got the owners meeting, a lot of news. You got Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, Mike McCarthy talking to the media. There's a lot of different topics that we'll try to hit today. But I wanted to start off with, I think, one of the things that fans have criticized the most when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys last year. Dak Prescott and the interceptions. And I wanted to kind of ask you guys your opinions on some of the things that McCarthy said as far as how they're working through this, how they're working with the coaching changes, the different roles here, and what they're trying to do. And Nick, you were out there. What did it say as far as like fixing this problem? How do they get Dak to be, I guess, keep being aggressive, but protecting the ball and not throwing as many.
Yeah, protecting the ball is obviously the key. And basically what it starts is it's going to start up front. And we'll talk about the offensive line, but that's what they keep saying is that they've got to get him upright for 20 games. 20 games is the goal for Mike McCarthy on playing Dak Prescott. So that's where I believe he thinks it starts, is getting pass protection. We can talk about Terrence Steele and Tyron Smith and Tyler Smith and all that. They're going to make sure they got five guys that can pass protect. Because as much as they like to say they're going to run the ball, it's still pass protection. It's still Mike McCarthy in a West Coast offense, is what he referred to it several times. So I'll let Brian speak a little bit more about what they're going to do with the turnovers part. I mean, that's something they're trying to address. But I think it does start with the offensive line.
Yeah, we learned maybe several weeks ago that Dak, Mike McCarthy, and Scott Tolzien, the coach, sat down and they went through every single interception he had this year and then last year and tried to pinpoint the reasons why. What were the factors that led for the interceptions? What were the decisions that were made here? What were you seeing? I think that's the thing when you're trying to figure things out. We always talk about the autopsy. You know, you're trying to get. You see clues. You're trying to figure out, okay, what was the cause of death here? And, you know, if you want to, in football terms, death is turnovers. Mm-hmm. You know, it kills your opportunity to win games. And statistically, that's something that's always part of that.
From your scout's eye, is there something? I know this. I didn't ask you ahead of time to like watch it and go back and watch. But from the season, what you remember. Is there something in general that you noticed that was Dak's main problem?
I don't think he sees the field particularly well at times. And there's times when you see him when he moves to his left. I feel like when on the move, he sees things a little bit better than when he's stationary in the pocket. You know, and I think that's where, if you look at the throws, and some of these interceptions were not his fault. I mean, when you start to talk about balls, you know, clanging off receivers or getting tipped or things like that, that's not necessarily on Dak Prescott. But if you're all of a sudden throwing a ball down the middle of the field and you read the coverage wrong or you don't see a safety sitting there or a linebacker on a deep drop sitting there, then that's an issue. The elite quarterbacks in the league, I believe, have that ability to see the whole entire field and anticipate where guys are going to be. You know, they talk to Aaron Rodgers about this all the time. You know, Aaron Rodgers would rather have a stationary, you know, with his team now, with the Packers the way it will soon, maybe it's not going to be his team anymore, but all the movement, you know, movement is supposed to show you what's going to happen. Aaron Rodgers is more of a stationary guy. He goes, I want to see just where everybody's going to be when the ball snapped. I don't want people moving around. I just want to see stationary stuff. And that way you can read that way. And I think with Dak, they're even going into now 8 years, there are things that he is deficient at. And I think reading the field at the absolute time. There's times where Dak, is early in his career, would turn his back to the defense and then have to come back, and then you're not sure, he wasn't sure where everybody was. And I think that's the biggest. He's got the arm strength, the arm talent to get the ball to where it needs to be. It's just when people get into throwing lanes that gives him the biggest problem.
You know, last week, Dak, along with, they were having a charity event in Dallas, and he talked to the media, and one of the things he mentioned, and they made a headline, we put out an article on it, is the time is now, basically. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting to see, you hear about the team trying to cater to Dak, build a team around Dak, and then you see people come and go, and then now, I guess the biggest awakening moment was Zeke's departure, knowing that he was drafted with him and knowing what the two built in their time with the Dallas Cowboys. Nick, when you hear something, it changed like this, all these moving parts, all these moving pieces, and again, we'll get into the O-line pretty soon. Yeah. But what do you think, what else can the Cowboys do? Yeah. To get to that level, that basically you only have Dak Prescott.
Well, they can give better receivers. I mean, that's the thing. They quit trying to think that you know, you're going to find, like, everybody's going to be a Miles Austin, because even Miles Austin needed 4 years. And so, you know, they this is twice that they've done it in the last 5 years, where they've gone into a season thinking, well, they're off it, their receivers were good enough. And they weren't. I mean, Noah Brown should be a fifth receiver. And if you're making him the second or third, yeah, he has a couple of moments here and there, but that's not what he is. And Dak needs better than that. Dak needs better than Jalen Tolbert, that didn't play much last year. And so it needs better than Michael Gallup every other game, maybe having a few plays here and there. So they've got to commit more to the receiver position. And that's the balance here. That's the toughest part, is that you're going to pay a guy this much money and then he still needs help around him. And most quarterbacks do. I mean, think about it. I mean, Kirk Cousins gets paid a lot of money. He needs star receivers around him, and that's just the fact. That's the way it is. There's only a couple guys in the league that can elevate all these other guys. Most of the guys need help, and I think that's what the Cowboys did by getting Cooks.
Do you think you still think they're going to make the same mistakes, because what Amber was talking about earlier, that we're going to get into the offensive line, that they feel like that's really the issue with Dak right now, or the thing that's holding Dak back?
I think that
because you make a good point about the receivers. Yeah. You're absolutely right. I don't know if they share your opinion.
No.
I mean, and they don't share my opinion about it either. But, you know, the thing about it is, they switched the offensive line coach. They took the assistant offensive line coach and made him a running backs coach. You know, they're looking at potentially drafting a guard. We're going to get into the whole thing about Tyron Smith and all that moving around up front. To me, it's like they haven't said anything about, oh, man, we have got to go out and get better receivers. It is, the focus of this thing has been right on the offensive line. You know, and that's where I can say I agree with you about the better talent around him. The point that they're even talking about potentially drafting a tight end at 26, when they had Dalton Schultz and they just let him walk, and, you know, they say, well, we really like Hendershot and Ferguson and all that. But the fact that you're starting to hear whispers that they would consider drafting a tight end at 26, you know, it's not about the better receivers. It's really about the offensive line. It's about the tight ends. And, you know, they committed a franchise tag to a running back, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's everything but wide receivers. And again, I don't disagree with you on the talent that needs to be over there.
Yeah. But, you know, they addressed it. They got Cooks. They got a guy that has been at five different places now, and he's had success in all of them. And so I think that was a scheme-friendly type of player, and that he has bounced around a little bit and shined, regardless who the quarterback is throwing him the ball. So I think that's a good thing. That'll be a good fit. and not a T.Y. Hilton come in, you know, like after Thanksgiving move. Like, this is a guy that could be here at training camp. So I like that move. I think Gallup's going to be better for a whole year, and he'll have some more weapons around.
What bothers me a little bit is that right now I don't feel that there is enough competition. Like, I would like to get into when we get to training camp. Mm-hmm. Well, these are the group of guys, and who's going to be the guy? I mean, you know, you got CeeDee Lamb, and you got Gallup, and you got Tolbert that's supposed to come back in and see if he does anything this year, and the addition of Cooks. But is there some, you know, when you get out there, you feel like, oh, there's all this talent. Let's see how they compete out there for at least the third receiver.
Somebody will, though. I think somebody between Tolbert, Simi Fehoko, Kevontae Turpin, somebody will make that jump, and it'll probably comes down to who's working with Dak the most this offseason. But I think somebody will make that. We've seen it with Cedric Wilson. We've seen it with Noah Brown. We've seen them guys make a jump. But they need to make that jump into the third or fourth spot, not the number two spot. You know?
Yeah. All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about the O-line and what we heard coming out of the owners meeting, basically saying that they're thinking or they're looking at, you know, they're looking at all options, but one of the options is working Terrence Steele at guard and see how that works out and if it is a good fit to put him there. What are your thoughts on this?
That is the complete opposite of a Jerry Jones theory that he has about offensive line play. It's a complete opposite. Jerry Jones, the one thing that I know working 14 years with him on the scouting side and then now with, you know, and being around with DallasCowboys.com, is that he believed, and I don't know where he got this. It could have been from Bill Parcells. It could have been from John Madden in the day. It could have been from Al Davis. It could have been from somebody. Jerry Jones fundamentally believes in the front of the pocket. He believes in the depth of the pocket is set by the center and the two guards. The width of the pocket is by the offensive tackles. They keep people wide. You keep the front of the pocket solid. You step up. That's why he's made investments. That's why they had Ron Leary here. That's why they drafted Zach Martin. That's why they drafted Travis Frederick. They've always tried to have powerful players in the front of the line. The one thing that we can say about Terrence Steele, and listen, I've been the most critical guy of Terrence Steele as a player. Terrence Steele is, in my opinion, an elite run blocker. When you start to talk about athletic ability and how he works with Zach Martin, I would say he's an average to below average pass blocker, and a lot of it has to do with his strength, the power, the base. We've seen him. We've seen what it's like to have a power-deficient left guard in Connor Williams. We've seen what that does for you. You know, you could be the best athlete in the world over there at guard, but if you play with a lack of power, now every quarterback in the league is affected. They can handle the stuff that comes off the edges. It's the stuff in their face that they can't handle. To me, if you told me, and I've seen some clips of Terrence Steele, looks really good moving around. You know, Duke Merriweather and those guys, they've got him moving around pretty well. Looks good. You know, Britt Brown, those guys, everybody, to the kids' credit, working hard. But to me, if you don't have a bigger guy, and that's the reason why this draft, I think, is important. There's a couple of those bodies, those 325-pound guys that are athletic that can plug in and play at that left guard spot. But this is fundamentally against everything that Jerry Jones believes when you start talking about the front of the pocket.
And to be fair, Jerry Jones did not say Terrence Steele would be a guard. He said he's a tackle. He did not say he's a guard. He said that right now he sees him as a swing tackle with Tyron and Tyler, and then we'll see how it all shakes out. Mike McCarthy said they're working at a guard a little bit. Steven said we'll see about the top five, you know, top five players out there, you know, all that. Personally, I think that the contract they gave Tyron Smith was more playtime incentive, and if you're going to do that, then you got to give him the opportunity to get it. Now, I think everybody believes that it probably won't play 17 games. He hasn't in 6 years. And even McCarthy said something very interesting. He said, we haven't had the same combination since I've been here. The same starting five week to week. That just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen at all. He goes, I'm tired of basically trying to get there. I'm now going to train ourselves on how to deal with it. So they basically have given up on this fingers crossed hope that we can have five continuity guys every week. Now they're just cross training everyone to play guard, tackle, center, and you know, swing tackle, fullback, McGovern style, and just say, hey, that's because this is the reality.
Well, and history shows that's a good idea and a good tactic.
Well, to Nick's point and to Mike's point as well is that they've won 25 games being able to mix match guys. We have Stephen Jones on Fridays on 105.3 The Fan. I've asked him the question because he always heard from him, continuity, 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 continuity. I said, how are you adapting to not having continuity? And he says, I really haven't, but that's what we are. Mm-hmm. That's what we are right now as a team. And I think you have to, in this day and age, you have to be able to mix match your guys and be able to win games.
Yeah.
You can't sit there. This isn't 1973 where the same five guys played together for 8-10 years. It just doesn't happen anymore. Whether it's free agency, whether it's injury, you just don't have that. You don't have that luxury. And, you know, I applaud them for being able to say, okay, we can move guys around. The one that bothers me when you start talking moving guys around is I think that Tyler Smith is your left tackle. So moving him to guard and moving him back and forth, that to me doesn't seem like he's the one guy that I would keep at left tackle and say, okay, this is my future going forward.
Yeah.
You know, I'll cross-train everybody else to play positions. But, you know, him, maybe Steele the same way.
I disagree with that just because I think he's going to have a 10-year career, and I'm not worried about the first couple years, just trying to get through this year, if that is the five best. I mean, I get it. He's going to play left tackle. That's his spot. But if I can't figure out my left guard and I've got him there and I've got a pretty good backup and I know he can play it, then I would consider it, but not forever. You know, I think if Tyron was 5 years younger and then you've got three really good tackles – you got to figure that out. But because it's like Tyron is just kind of hanging on, I'd rather play him at left tackle and draft a left guard. That's what I want to do.
Right.
But if not, if your five best guys is it includes Tyler Smith playing left guard, I would be okay with it knowing that it's not forever.
Yeah, the thing that I do know, and I think we all know, and I think Cowboy fans know this too, you give them the opportunity to draft an offensive lineman late in a draft, it works out for them.
Late in the
first round. Yeah. It's a plug and play.
Yeah,
I mean, it is automatic plug and play for them, and it works out. It's one of the things that, you know, you say, well, tell me about how the Cowboys draft. Get them picking 25 to 28 and let them draft an offensive lineman. That's as sure of a thing that they have right now. So to me, they'll have that opportunity. They'll have that opportunity to say, you know what, we're gonna help Dak Prescott because they've made it a point to say offensive line first. They haven't, you know, they haven't said, hey Nick, we're gonna draft you a wide receiver at 26. Hey Brian, we're gonna draft you a running back at 26. They haven't said that. They're talking about what they need to do to keep Dak Prescott on the field for 20 games.
Love it.
That's what they're talking about.
Let's go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we'll keep the conversation going and then also get into some of the NFL rule changes that were spoken at the NFL owners meeting.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes four Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to the break.
Get a behind-the-scenes look at all the things Dallas Cowboys with tours of AT&T Stadium and the Star presented by SeatGeek. Check out the locker rooms, playing fields, Super Bowl memorabilia, and more. Get your tickets today at dallascowboys.com/tours.
Welcome back to the second segment of the break presented by blockchain.com. There we go. Okay, before we change topics, let's just keep talking about the offense a little bit and getting to Mike McCarthy as the play caller. That is something that kind of was talked about quite a lot at the owners meeting. He spoke on just how the offense is going to look, not much different from what it's been, but also you are going to see some changes. So what are y'all's expectations of what this actually going to look like with Mike calling the plays now?
You know, I think it's hard to say that right now because, you know, and Brian says this all the time as coaches, you've got to know your team. You've got to really know what you've got. So you can have a philosophy. You can say that this is going to be what I want to do. But let's see what happens in the draft. Let's see what they get. They could say we're going to have a ball control, West Coast offense, pass, short passing, and all this stuff. And then you draft a 330-pound left guard, and then you pick another running back up who's 230 pounds, and you're like, you know what? We might be a different offense. And so I'm not trying to avoid the question, but I do think that the smartest coaches are the ones that fit their personnel into the scheme, fit the scheme around the personnel. And we're still not all the way there yet. So I still think it's a work in progress.
There's an old Bob Seger song, Ambar, way before your time. Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. He had a line in the song. He said, "Working on mysteries without any clues." That was one of the lines of his songs. And I think we're kind of there right now. I think we're working on mysteries without any clues. And to me, it's, you know, this is one of those things if we have to do June radio where, you know, you guys make predictions and tell me something that's going to happen in this preseason. Right. And I would say week six, Brian Schottenheimer starts to call plays. That would be one of my crazy throw it out there predictions. You know, like Nick loves it when you throw out like a crazy prediction, like the ball is going to bounce off someone's head and it's going to catch it and they're going to win the game, you know, and Nick loves that stuff.
I'm about 10%. I'm one of 10.
Yeah. So see, that's kind of where the June prediction for Brian Bross is that by week six, Brian Schottenheimer's going to take over the play.
Why though? Yeah, why? What happens?
You got to wait till June to figure it out.
I'm just kidding. Tell me what happens in week five then. Week five is not going to be good.
See,
for
that's what I'm saying. I think there's going to be some times where, like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they're going to maybe have a couple of rough patches, and there's going to be a couple of games where we come on here and go, damn, we miss Kellen Moore here, don't we, a little bit? You know, and you're just kind of throwing it because the defense plays its ass off and you lose a game. You lose a game 24-20.
Not really what I'm wanting to hear at this point.
But that's
in March,
what I'm saying. There's so many questions. Mm-hmm. We don't know
what do you think Mike would struggle with the most as the play caller?
I think when you haven't done it for a while, there's a certain rhythm to a game. And maybe it's going to take him some time to get in that rhythm of that game. He's also the head coach. I mean, there's guys that are able to do this. I mean, there are some play callers, and I'd like to see the teams. You know, how do teams that have the head coach as the primary play caller, how do they manage games? Are they a team that blows games because they don't keep up with the situations in the game? I just think it's Mike McCarthy. He has so much faith in Brian Schottenheimer. And if you talk to people around the league, there's a lot of people that really do respect Brian Schottenheimer. Really do. I mean, And there's defensive players on this current team that respect Brian Schottenheimer because he was the guy in the Ben McAdoo role that was telling him, hey, this week you got to watch what the Eagles do on this RPO. Hey, you got to watch what the Commanders do when they get in this set. You know, there's defensive players that will tell you that Brian Schottenheimer was one of the reasons why they played some better defense this year. So I'm okay. I just think there's going to be a time where Mike McCarthy is going to look at this and he's going to go, is some of my game management stuff slipping? And do I trust this guy to call the plays? I think it's going to be one of those tipping points where maybe a game or two doesn't go their way, and it's something that he needed to be on top of.
You know, and that's a good point, too. And we were both here in 2003 when Parcells was here and Sean Payton was you know, the quarterback's coach and then, you know, I guess offensive coordinator at some point. But no one knew who called the plays.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you didn't. And I think what was happening from what we kind of heard is that, yeah, call the play, but I want to run Marion Barber here to the left side.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got about four on your sheet. Pick one. But, you know, so who's calling the play? I mean, you're calling the play. So that might be a situation, too, where McCarthy was just like, you know, let's run the ball four times and let's let Pollard have it or whoever, Ronald Jones or – draft pick.
Yeah.
You know,
see that? Yeah. You know, this could be like riding a bike for Mike McCarthy. It could absolutely do. I think, though, that he's going to have, there's going to be a certain rhythm that they're going to have to. And how much are you going to be able to get into a rhythm during these games in the preseason? You know, we're all terrified of injury. We all walk around in Oxnard and, you know, in the beautiful weather, and then someone's laying on the field, and we just immediately just all go, oh, no, the season's over. You know, and that's where I think Mike McCarthy helped Kellen Moore when Dak went down. Mm-hmm. I think Mike McCarthy said, listen, bro, we have to do something different here. All these things that you have on that left side of that call sheet of yours, you might want to think about the little right side a little bit more. Think about that. You know, I think there's some things, some suggestions and stuff that Mike McCarthy gave. But there is a lot of confidence on the staff with Brian Schottenheimer. And, you know, we'll see. We have memories of Brian Schottenheimer in Seattle, and we think of his dad, Marty Schottenheimer, with LaDainian Tomlinson and, you know, Christian Okoye, and that just, you know, running the ball with these behemoth, you know, backs. That's what we think about, right, Nick? I mean, you think of Marty Schottenheimer, you know, you think of the Cleveland Browns with, you know, with big backs, just, you know.
Biner.
Yeah, Ernest Biner.
Mac.
Yeah. Mac, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. We don't know right now. But there's a side of me that thinking week six, there's going to be maybe 2 weeks where something got away, attention to detail, and now we need to focus back. You know, and Nick's point is, who calls the plays? Whose lips are moving when, you know, the play goes in?
You know, when you listen to everything, it's like you've heard McCarthy say this offseason, you know, we're going to run the ball a lot. You've heard him say it's all about pass protection and we're going to throw it. There's 17 games in the season. There's going to be a game where 35 points won't win it. You've got to score points. There's going to be game 17 wins it. We saw it last year. Every game takes on a life of its own, and you've got to be able to win it certain ways. That's why I always say about the bus driver, I want Dak to be a bus driver. I want him to be a badass bus driver, though. I want to be a bus driver that can get it in the HOV lane and take off if you need to, but also go 20 when you need to as well. That's what a game manager is. Sometimes you have to step on the gas. Sometimes you have to pull back. And I think you have to figure out ways to win in multiple ways. And so that's, is this going to be a running team? Is it going to be a passing team? Maybe. But, I mean, nobody's ever won a game in March in the NFL or lost a game. So that's why you don't play games right now. You can say, Terrence Steele's going to do this and this and this. And at the end of the day, Terrence Steele's going to play right tackle. That's what I believe. Yeah. I think he's going to play tackle for the Cowboys. I don't know, right tackle, left tackle, probably right tackle. But if he's healthy, he's playing because I think he's one of your five best.
I guess we'll...
We'll see.
Working on mysteries, that clues.
I like it.
Yeah. No, that's a good thought. And I agree with... However, I think... I'm looking forward to seeing Mike McCarthy call the plays and seeing what that looks like. But... Yeah. I do think you're onto something about, you working. It's just like working out a muscle or working out anything that you haven't done in a while.
Explain that to me about working out. What is that? What does that entail?
Yeah. It's going to take a little bit of time to kind of get the rhythm going. Let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll get into the NFL rules and also the number change where players can now wear zero.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
For one night only, music legends Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks will perform at AT&T Stadium on Saturday, April 8th, 2023. Tickets on sale now at SeatGeek.com, the official ticketing provider of AT&T Stadium.
Billy Joel, one time I saw him in Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah.
Puts on a hell of a show. He really, really does. He was at one time he was involved with, he was doing classical music, but his music catalog is huge. And he came on stage one day and he goes, "Folks, I've been working on this classical stuff, but tonight I'm playing all the damn hits." And he did. He played 20-some-odd straight songs. And I always judge a concert, if you could go to it, you could sing 18 of the 25 songs that they play. If you can just belt them out and be bad at it. Billy Joel did it that night for me.
You did it for the Backstreet Boys.
Okay, yeah.
I did. I did for the – well, that and the Miller Lights that we were pounding at that time.
Nice. Nice.
That was a really fun.
That was fun.
Fun night.
That was fun. If you could go with a group of people and laugh at yourself for singing every, I don't know the words of the song, but I was acting like I did. I think it was the Miller Lite that helped me that night. For sure.
I was like, I don't know any Backstreet Boys song.
Everyone was singing.
Eight. I don't know, nine.
That was fun. That was a good trip.
All right. Well.
All right, Brian. Real quick, count to three for me. Real quick, count to three.
One, two, three.
You two, count to three.
Uno, dos, tres.
Okay. So that's my point. That's how you count. You count one, two, and three. You don't count zero, one, two. I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
You are so
hate it. I hate this change, but it's happening in basketball. It happened in basketball.
I was wondering where you were going with this.
Right? I just think it's a zero. I told my son, you're not wearing zero for soccer. You're just not doing it. You can wear any other number. You're just not, because you're a zero. You're nothing. I mean, what if your bank account was zero? Is that good? I mean, like, zero, I just hate it as a number. I don't like it, but it's happening. Somebody's going to do it for the Cowboys. Good fight between Micah Parsons and Jayron Kearse. I saw on Twitter they're both kind of going at it. I like Kearse to win that one.
Whose jersey bill? We've seen there's a history of this. Whose jersey bill to pay off
Micah?
That's Micah ridiculous. By far, right?
And he doesn't have that second contract yet.
That thing. If Jalen Smith jersey bill was well into six figures, what do you think Micah Parsons jersey bill is?
I think it's
you have to buy them all out, right?
Yeah, but then again, I mean, let's be honest. You go to the games, you see a lot of Micah Parsons.
Right.
His stuff's getting sold.
Right.
The Cowboys whiffed on that one with Jalen Smith. I mean, they just weren't buying his jersey, so there's a lot more out there. But I still think it's going to be a hefty bill for Micah Parsons to do.
He made more money off of Jalen by selling it to
him. I don't think that's happening. I mean, I think it would be probably – I know Jayron Kearse has been trying to get into single digits. And, you know, what the rule changes did yesterday, it really helped out the equipment managers around the league, because it was a big problem happening. Because everybody wants a single digit, but they didn't change the quarterback or the kicker rule. So they didn't change quarterback either. But so from 1 to 19, you have to get your quarterbacks, you got to get your kickers and punters, and then you got to get everyone else that wants these numbers. And for the Cowboys, it's even worse, because 8 and 12 are off the table, not happening. Offense or defense, not happening. So they added a zero. And then they also said the kickers can now move up into the 40s and even in the 90s, which won't happen. So you're going to see a lot of kickers wearing like 46. That's just the way it is.
I remember going back way back in the day is like Jim Otto with the Oakland Raiders. He was a center, so his name is OTTO. He wore 00. You know, Jim Otto was like an all-pro center. Ken Burrow was a wide receiver with the Houston Oilers. He wore 00. And then there was
Did they change that?
They've had it. Those guys, I mean, I don't know when the rule changed, but growing up as a kid, those guys wore 00.
The Cowboys have never had a zero, right?
No, I don't think so.
I
also remember like there was a punter named Walton that wore number 39 for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. So they've had the league has had numbers that don't mesh.
He probably played guard one time or something.
Like I said, it was they're fun. Like, you see college kickers, a lot of these college kickers have 90 numbers. Yeah. 99, 98, 97, but those are primary numbers for your defensive linemen. But then you got defensive linemen. I'm watching all this draft tape, and I'm watching number 24, 21, this 20 number stretched into this massive, 325-pound guy that's just, it's just like it's painted on him kind of the thing. But that's what it is. I mean, these players, these defensive linemen, they were like number 5, number 8. They wear these crazy numbers, and you're like, no, that doesn't look right.
And that goes to show, just when you're asking what happened at the owners' meetings, I mean, it's what everyone's talking about. And
it's all over.
Looks like my name.
Good morning, football.
But you're seeing all these stories about the zero. That is not going to change the game at all. That doesn't affect the game. There's 9 rule changes. Some of them will, but the one that everyone's talking about is not going to make any difference in the game, which is good. I mean, that just goes to show that there's not a lot of crazy rule changes.
Yeah, the owners had a good time there at the Biltmore, I think, is what you're saying right there. The thing about it, Deion Sanders said something pretty funny. He was talking about jersey numbers and how you earn jersey numbers and where all the zeros and stuff like that. He goes, if you're a guy in college that used to have a double, if you were a double number guy, like a double, like you shared a number with somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
You ain't playing.
Right.
You're a scrub. You ain't, I mean, he didn't use the word scrub,
yeah.
But I mean, you're not, if you had your number was with somebody else's number, you probably were the guy that wasn't going to play.
It happens here too.
Yeah.
You know, it happens with the Cowboys. Also, if they give you 74 in training camp, not good.
Yeah.
Not good. Well, you're not going to keep it.
Yeah, if you make the team, you're going to wear it. Yeah, you're going to end up getting another number for sure.
But,
Wait, are you surprised how quickly they gave away Zeke's number? That 21 lasted all of it wasn't even, it was still warm.
I was surprised. I was surprised. Not that I didn't expect it eventually, how quick that happened.
That thing went like, okay, well, let's clean out his locker. And they're Bucky's boxing up everything. And the next thing you know, it's boom, here's a new 21.
And the reason why goes back to the single digits. He wanted a single digit. Yeah. And it's like, we don't have anything yet. Yeah. And then it was Cooks wanted a single digit. Curse wants a single digit. I think Nashawn Wright wants a single day. And it's like, okay, so he was like, oh, I'll take 21. Like, okay, 21. And then number 3, I mean, Anthony Brown, he's an unrestricted free agent. I guess he's definitely not coming back now. Yeah. They gave his number away, which that writing was on the wall there. They traded for Gilmore. He struggled the last year before his injury. Then he got hurt,
Two things I was really wrong about last season was him having a breakout, because I thought him and Armstrong were going to be breakout guys. I thought Anthony Brown was going to be what Deron Bland was this year for your team. Him and then the thing about Terrence Steele, those are the two ones. Those are those June, all right, make a prediction things, to go wrong.
You said Dorrance Armstrong would have a breakout year?
Yeah, he was one of the – him and – but I thought Brown was going to be – I thought he was going to be bland, the interceptions and making plays and stuff like that.
The thing about going back to let's glass half full, the Dorrance Armstrong. Yeah. I mean, here's a guy that had eight sacks, blocked a punt, blocked a field goal. I mean, there's no one in the league doing that. Yeah. And that goes, number one, it goes, this guy can get to the quarterback and make plays. Number two, he also is willing and good at special teams. You don't see a lot of guys getting 8 sacks that are also like, yeah, coach, put me in on special teams.
Yeah.
So that's a weapon right there, having a guy like that can dip underneath and block punts and field goals and stuff like that, and then also play on defense.
Can I ask a real quick question? Do you guys feel like that they're set at edge, that they're set at defensive end? Because, in the draft, we're always talking about, would they take, would they take Nolan Smith, a defensive end from, if he were to fall, he's one of the best testing defensive ends. He's a really, really good player. But do you think that they're set at defensive end to the point that they wouldn't draft one at 26?
I think that when you look at, what the Giants did 15 years ago, I don't think anyone is ever set at defensive end, because if a pass rusher is there, I just remember the Giants going, we have O.C. Umenyora, we have Strahan, we have Tuck, and then, Kiwanuka was there or whatever. They're like, take him, JPP was there. And they're like, we're going to take him. Yeah. You always will take more defensive. So I don't think teams would ever say they were set at defensive.
See, I just wondered with Fowler, coming back, and then Armstrong, and then, you got all these.
One-year deal for Fowler, right?
Yeah, right.
Armstrong's done after this year.
Yeah.
Parsons.
So maybe it's.
Yeah. I feel like there are.
It's the same thing
positions.
With corners, the same way.
That's
probably
what I was going to say. Yeah. I feel like there are several positions that we talk about on here, and we're like, take him.
Yeah.
Take him.
Yeah.
But so I was going to ask you guys real quick, what would be those main positions where you are like, definitely take the guy? Because we talked about.
I want guard. I want a guard or a tackle. I want another Tyler Smith, and just keep giving me big guys in the front. That's what I want.
That, I don't know if that will mess things up or make things better, really. But, I mean, the guard makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
The one thing, like I said it very early in the show, that you let them draft a late-round, first-round offensive lineman, it's usually a plug-and-play guy, and they have no problem with that. They have no problem with that. So if that's the thing, you know, take that position and then move on in the second round and go from there. You know, start your draft off with something, you know, get a good solid pick and then do some damage from that point on.
Yeah, and if Tyron Smith stays healthy and if Tyler Smith is good at left tackle and they have a guard and Steele's healthy and all that, Terrence Steele is going to wear out the ref when he comes in every play and says, 78 is reporting eligible. Yeah. And that is your blocking tight end, and you're just going to have six offensive linemen and just steamroll people. That's not the worst thing in the world that could happen, too. So if you have this luxury of offensive linemen, then Terrence Steele can play that
position. I would draft a guard just to keep Terrence Steele from having to play guard because I think he's that good at tackle.
I do, too.
But the top position, if still available, running back?
Man, don't get me started because what happens is I think Bijan Robinson, the running back from Texas, is one of the best players in the draft, regardless of position. I get in discussions with folks about this all the time. You know, you can't take a running back. You can't take a running back. A running back's career, you can't take a running back. I think Stephen Jones said it well. There's a difference between taking a running back at 4 and taking one at 26. There is a difference there. I think you just take – if that player right there, it's Bijan Robinson, can help your team immensely. Now, I will also say this, and we're about to do the draft show after this one. Rounds 1 through 5, there are some quality running backs in this draft. So if you met the argument and you wanted to say, well, Brian, I don't need to take one in the first round, I would say, okay, fair deal.
Yeah.
And there's been some drafts where you can't say that. This one you can. Absolutely.
All right, and with that, I mean, we didn't even get to the rules, but there's really not much going on. The only one that was interesting
was fourth down plays, right?
Those
fourth down, a failed fourth down attempt is now reviewable by the officials up top, just like a scoring play or a touchdown. That was kind of interesting. They did not vote for the onside kick.
Had a good time there at the Biltmore, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, I don't think so. I mean, this is Cowboys talk here and all that. Cowboys break, Washington, Baltimore, Green Bay. Those storylines kind of took over everything else, which is nice. It was good.
All right, and with that, we end the show.
The cucumber water good, Nick? Yeah. You try strawberry water or cucumber water?
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
Cucumber water, that's right.
Refreshing.
It is very refreshing.
Stick around. The draft show is coming up next. So stay tuned. For Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, I'm Amber Garcia. This has been The Break on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?